Friends, I'm going to read from the book of Romans, chapter 12, and from verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ. And individually, we are members one of another. We have the gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal, be ardent in spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope and be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints, extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. Resurrection. What does it mean, and what does it mean for us? And some would say it is something that happens to us after we die, as in it's the key to the afterlife. We die physically and we are raised to life in Christ. And it's a belief that has been around for a long time, yet not as long as we might think. However, when we take time to study the Scriptures, specifically the documents of the New Testament, it becomes clear that although the afterlife was and is a theme and something important, resurrection was also something else. In the writings of the Apostle Paul, for example, which came before the Gospels, death and resurrection were a constant theme. Paul wrote very clearly about dying and rising with Christ. To the Christians in Galatia, he wrote this, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. To the Christians in Rome, Paul wrote, all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead, by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. In the Gospel according to Mark, Mark wrote very clearly about the way of Jesus. In fact, it was the central theme. And that way for Jesus was the journey from Galilee to Jerusalem. And in that journey, three times Jesus spoke about his impending death and resurrection. And each of these three teachings were paired with teachings about following Jesus. For example, Jesus called the crowd along with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." What these authors described wasn't necessarily a literal death and resurrection for those who would follow Christ. Instead, friends, it was the path of personal transformation. And Paul used the term in Christ, which he did quite often. He meant personal transformation. So in his own life, the old Paul had died when he encountered Jesus, and a new Paul had been born. Indeed, when he wrote to his brothers and sisters, his friends in Corinth, he let them know that if anyone was in Christ, they were a new creation. Everything old had passed away. Everything had become new. So for Paul and for the gospel authors, this dying and rising or being in Christ meant seeing the world through completely different eyes. Where all the deepest divisions of the first century Roman and Jewish social worlds had been overcome. And because they had been overcome in Christ Jesus, there was no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for all were one in Him. To use different words, resurrection meant and means dying to self and being raised to new life now, filled not with the spirit or the things of selfish ambition, but with the spirit of Christ and with a servant's heart. This is what the author of the Gospel according to John meant when he wrote about Jesus saying, "Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." The call being for us to lay down our lives in order for Jesus Christ to live in us. And in this way, be forgiven or liberated or reconnected to God. Now friends, existing as a self isn't wrong. We are created to be selves, so dying to self might be understood as having a new identity or a new way of being, and that's very important. The problem is not that we are selves, but what kind of selves we are and what kind we might be. Now, I realize sometimes that all of this talk of dying to self and rising again can get a little confusing at times, so I want to look at a couple of examples very quickly of what Scripture means by being raised to new life or being resurrected. Paul is a great example. Before he became Paul, Paul was known as Saul. And Saul was a Pharisee, a very zealous one. For him, the law of God was paramount. We are told that Saul was a persecutor of Christians and understood the followers of the way to be a threat to his tradition. But on a day, Saul encountered the risen Jesus, and that encounter began in him a radical transformation of who he was and how he saw the world. So much so that it wasn't long before Paul, as he became known, was preaching the good news of Jesus to people, was preaching about faith and grace and the fact that life could be very different in Christ. Paul thus became a servant of Jesus and of others, enduring all kinds of hardships in his lifetime for the sake of the gospel, and ultimately giving up his life for the one who had transformed him. Peter is another good example. As we saw this morning, he was the one who disowned Jesus in his hour of need. He too fled along with all the other disciples. But when Peter encountered the risen Christ, his life was transformed. We're told in the Gospel according to John that he was reinstated by Christ and told to feed Christ's sheep. We see in the book of Acts that Peter filled with the Spirit, stood up amongst the people and he preached Christ crucified. Lived out the rest of his life bringing gospel to the Jews until he too was executed for his faith. The resurrection, the transformation of Paul and Peter didn't only take place once they had died. It took place in them while they were living. And through dying and rising in Christ, these men became the people that God intended them to be. Lived the kind of lives that God intended them to live. Resurrection, being raised to life, meant not living for themselves anymore, but for God and for others. And that is the resurrection's call or challenge to us as individuals and as this body, to heed the call of Christ to follow him, and in doing so be reconnected to God, so that we might serve God and our fellow human beings with love and compassion, and discover that true abundant life is found in this. In this way too, even death is nothing to fear, but may be understood as part of the journey of life. For as Paul said, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The call is to come to Jesus, friends, and be raised to new life. Amen.